yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're taking notes, that's the title, Rest and Let God. I'm going to share from a very popular piece of scripture, or we'll talk about Jonah. Anybody knows Jonah? We know Jonah very much. So just a bit of a backstory. Jonah is a prophet, a messenger of God. He's given an assignment by God. He's called by God. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah to go to a city called Nineveh and to warn that city, to speak against the evil, their sinful ways. And instead, what did Jonah do? He ran away. It says that he ran away from God to go to another town, to go to Tarshish. And so what did God do? He sent a violent storm because Jonah had boarded a ship. And so God decided, I'm going to teach him a lesson that I am God and I am in control. So this violent storm comes, hits the ship, and everybody is in panic. Everybody is in panic, and everybody starts to pray to their various gods, small g. And where was Jonah when all this was happening? It says he was down below in the deck, fast asleep. Fast asleep, to the point where the captain went down to complain, to confront Jonah. Why are you fast asleep when this is happening, when we're going through this disaster? We need you to pray to your God as well. So anyway, to cut a long story short, the people in the ship started to throw the cargo out because they thought if we make this ship lighter, then maybe we'll survive. That didn't help. Then they cast lots to find out, you know, who's responsible for all of this. And the lot fell on Jonah. And so they went to Jonah to ask him, what do we do? So finally it was decided, Jonah said, you'll have to just throw me into the sea. That's the solution. So they didn't want to do that. So they kept trying all sorts of things, but eventually it just became too much and they threw Jonah in the sea. So I'm going to start by talking about this. If we are going to rest, then we must stop running from the call. Stop running from the call. You know, generally, I haven't had very positive experiences with the word running. I think I've shared some of this before, but I have two stories from my childhood. One was when I was running from a dog. There was a group of us, probably around 8, 9 years old. Now, as usual, I was always the biggest kid in the group. And we've got this dog chasing us, and I was petrified. Eventually, the dog let me go because I stopped and apologized to the dog. I said, I'm sorry. And for a long time, I believed the dog stopped because I apologized. But the dog actually walked away because I stopped. The second experience was when we were doing athletics, which I absolutely hated. When we did athletics in primary school, there was always a teacher with a big stick chasing us. That was meant to encourage us to run faster. And as usual, I was always the last one because I was carrying extra weight. I can still see it right now, traumatized. So you'd have this teacher with a whip chasing you so that you could run faster. So very negative experiences. But I did have some positive experiences with running. And that was usually when we were playing hide and seek. I loved hide and seek. I like watching little kids play hide and seek. Just last week, my 3-year-old was playing hide and seek in the kids' room. And the thing about little kids when they're playing hide and seek is they hide in the most obvious places, don't they? And that's what she did. I said to her, I could see her, and I said, Gugu, are you in here? And she yelled out, no. When I was a teenager, my auntie, who had been a Christian for a while, she was living in the UK, and she sent me a greeting card. And I can still see it there with the big red cross on it. And inside was written, Onami, stop running away from God. God can heal you. At the time, I was very unwell, headaches that wouldn't go away. Stop running away from God. You know, I had to make a very unusual decision to leave my home country to go to South Africa to come and experience God for myself. I attended this, you know, Christian conference on the word of my aunt, God can heal you. Up until that point, I wanted nothing to do with Christians. Who's had that experience where you don't want anything to do with Christians before you become a Christian? I believed they were boring, they were legalistic, they were clueless, and worst of all, I hated it when they would say things like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jonah ran away and he played hide and seek with God. And of course, his hiding spots were always obvious to God, like with the little kids, because he is omnipresent, isn't he? He is everywhere all the time. So God knew where he was. He knew he was on the ship. He knew he was down on the deck and even in the sea. He knew where he was. My question to you this morning is, I wonder, are you playing hide and seek or are you running from God? And how do you know whether you are or not? Next question, what can you do about it if you are running from God? I believe the answer is this. You know you're running when you invest in distractions. You distract yourself. You spend your time, your money, your resources, your gifts on things that have absolutely nothing to do with what God has called you to. Jonah paid money to run to Tarshish. That was his distraction. He paid, he invested in that. So what do you do about it? If you know you're running from God, what can you do about it? I believe the answer is in learn to slow down. Learn to slow down the pace of your thoughts. Learn to manage your day and your week and your activities in such a way that you ensure that you actually have time to sit and hear the word of the Lord for you. God has a word for each and every one of us. We all have the Bible, of course, that we can read, but God, even in that, has a word that we have to hear so we may know how it applies to our lives. Who knows that you can be in church and you can still have been coming to church for many years and still be running from God, running from the call, sitting on your gifts, holding on to certain mindsets, even in church. I know for myself, one of the mindsets that I held on to for many, many years is, I never, ever want to be a pastor's wife. Who knows that God has a sense of humor? So you have to be careful what you say. I think it's safe to assume that nobody in this room has been in the belly of a fish. Is that safe to assume? But most, if not all of us, have been in an elevator, right? And some have actually been in an MRI machine or any other type of scan where you feel like you're just in a tunnel, this enclosed space. So as I read this next scripture, Jonah chapter 2, I want you to imagine that, whether it's the elevator or the MRI machine or whatever it is for you, because we have never been in the belly of a fish. Imagine this as you read this. Chapter 2 of Jonah, verse 1 to 10. It says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I want to talk about opening your mouth. Open your mouth. One thing we all have in common as human beings is that we all got the welcome to earth smack. Do we agree? The welcome to earth smack? Few moments after you've been born, they smack the baby. The baby cries out, and that there's a sign. That's a sign that there is life. Jonah opened his mouth to cry out for help in his distress. If we are going to rest and let God, then we must learn to cry out in our distress. Some of us don't know how to do that. Instead, when we are in distress, we internalize. We live such private lives that even God doesn't know how to help us. He is God, of course. He can do anything. But we have a role to play in crying out when we are in distress. Jonah opened up his mouth to show us the character of God. The God who loves. It's in his prayer. The God who is faithful and delivers from darkness and fear. The God who resuscitates when life feels like it's ebbing away. Jonah opened his mouth to make a statement of commitment to God. If we are going to rest and let God, then we must learn to commit. Jonah declared this. He says, I will look again toward you. He said, I will remember you. I will lift up my prayer to you. I will sacrifice to you. I will fulfill my vows to you. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah 3, 1 to 6 and 10 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth, a sign of humbling themselves before God. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. He stepped down. He took off his royal robes. He covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. When God, this is verse 10 now, when God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. I want to talk about the God of second chances. Who here has ever felt like they want God to give them a second chance? Yeah? Man is not very good at giving. Human beings are not very good at giving us second chances. One strike, you're out. But God is not like that. That's why he is God. Who knows that God is patient? God is kind. He is the God of second chances. You see, Jonah got a redo. He got a second chance, and so did Nineveh. Because Jonah got a second chance, so did Nineveh. Here's a key thing. He got the second chance when he rested. When he cried out. When he stopped running. When he stopped fighting his calling. When he finally acknowledged and fully committed to God. When he obeyed. We have to learn to pray for God's perspective on whatever situation we're in. You know how easy it is when things are really difficult in your life to be so focused on that. But I believe it's important for us to learn to respond by praying and saying, God, give me your perspective on this issue. You see, the fish swallowed Jonah. Can you just imagine for a second being swallowed? Just imagine being swallowed. I tried to imagine the insides of the fish. I saw some pictures on the internet. Some of them had lights and beds, and Jonah was there, and there was beds and lights, and it was really cozy. But that's not what came up when I thought about being swallowed by a fish. Because have you ever seen intestines of any creature? It's slimy, isn't it? Even just going through just the saliva of the fish, just at the beginning, that's enough to just make you want to vomit, right? So I want you to imagine that that's what was happening. The fish swallowed Jonah. There was nothing pleasant about it. He disappeared into that dark and confusing space. The future wasn't clear. I don't think there were any lights in there. It was cold and it was lonely. Who's ever been lonely? Two people in this whole room. That's amazing. Three. I've been lonely. It's a horrible feeling. And it doesn't go away just because you're a Christian, right? Oh, that little girl just nodded. That's amazing. It doesn't go away just because you're a Christian. But here's the thing. Jonah somehow made a connection. He made a connection between his cry and the provision of the fish. He realized that God was with him. It's a game changer when you realize that in your dark, scary, unclear moments, God is still with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not every painful experience in your life is the work of the enemy. You do know that a lot of times when things go bad in our lives, we start rebuking the enemy. It says that God provided the fish. It wasn't a punishment. It was protection. Even in the belly of the fish, Jonah was still on assignment. Something unique, I believe, happened. It's, you know, he was in there 3 days and three nights. Something happened that's unique when he was in that space. There was an intimacy with God that happened. The thing is this, we have to be intentional about creating space to be with God, creating space for intimacy with God. It's not going to just happen. Coming for a Sunday service is not enough to create that intimacy. Finally, I want to finish with this. See what the Lord will do. For every word that we hear from the Lord, we must also see the vision attached to that word. You see, Jonah heard the word of the Lord, but he didn't see God's vision. Because I don't think if he did, he would have ran. He heard. What he heard was, go warn those wicked, sinful people. That's what he heard in the natural. But what he didn't see was that there was a great city of Nineveh. What he didn't see was the potential blessings attached to the salvation of the Ninevites. What he didn't see was the restoration of those families, the rebuilding of broken places, the peace and the healing that was going to come, the joy in the community. Because otherwise, I don't think he would have run. Verse 10 says, God changed his mind and plans to destroy Nineveh because of one man. The power of one. One man. Just his obedience was enough. Your obedience can change a nation. You know, sometimes we talk about, I think I've partly obeyed God. Is there such a thing? You can't partly obey God. Sometimes we do things and we say, well, at least I obeyed that part. It's either you obey or disobey. There's no partial obedience. But it's important for us to understand that our obedience can change a nation. Sometimes we get caught up and think it's just about us. So my question is this. When God sends you a word, what do you see? When God sends you a word, I find it really powerful that the same way that the cross was provision for humanity, despite how brutal it was, the fish was provision for Jonah, despite how it felt in that moment. And so my challenge for us would be, can we have a different perspective of those painful moments that we experience and start to see God's provision in those moments? I'm just going to get Brema to come up. And I just want to give people the opportunity to come up for prayer. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 28 says this. From one man, feel free to replace that with one person, me. From you, from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. Oh, this is my favorite part. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. All nations are to inhabit the earth. All nations, all individuals, all communities have appointed times in history. Why? So we would seek him. So we would reach out. And so we would find him. For in him we live and move and have our being. I wonder what life would be like if every single one of us lived as if we were important to what God is doing on the earth. I wonder what it would be like if each one of us actually believed that we were called to the nations. Not just the person next to you, not just the ambassadors. You, I have been called to the nations. We have been called to influence. Because it's easy to think, I've just been called to just my little family. I've just been called to Fremantle. I've just been called to C3. I've just been called to Australia. But you've been called to the nations. And so I get you to just stand up. And I just want to pray as we finish off. And there's four areas that I want to pray into. Please feel free to come up for prayer. But I want to pray into these areas. If you feel this applies to you. Number one, I want to pray into those who are tired and need rest. You just know you're tired and you need rest.
tried everything you can, but you're still tired. Number two, I want to pray for the callings of God. We are all called as ambassadors to all nations. Number three, I want to pray for hope for the future, for our church, for our families, for our generation. And lastly, I want to pray to not only hear the word of the Lord, but that for every word that you hear, may you also see God's vision of the word that he has given you. So if any of those apply to you, please come up. If not, I'm still going to pray, so it's still okay. And I'd really encourage if we just pray together. Please, ladies, just come up and I'll just pray. I may come afterwards if I need to, but I'm just going to pray for you just from here. Church, please help me reach out to these lovely people. We're just going to pray, please. We're not just spectators. We're participating on what God is doing on the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in history. We thank you, Lord, that nothing happens by accident. Father, I thank you for these children of yours. We are all children of God. We thank you, Father, that in you we live and move and have our being. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these people who have come up to the front. You know their individual needs. And I pray, Father, that you may meet them at their point of need. And I pray, Father, that if they are tired, whoever is tired, may you give them rest. May you give them rest that only you can give. And I pray, Father, for the callings of God, for everyone in the room who's been called by God or doesn't even know they've been called by God. I pray even this week, oh God, may we hear you. May we hear that small, still voice. May we have a greater revelation as we read your word that you are speaking to us, oh God. May we not despise small beginnings. Father, I pray for hope for the future for every single person in the room right now. I pray, Father, for our individual families. Father, I thank you that no situation is too small for you, Lord. That no situation is too big for you. That whatever everyone is going through, Lord Jesus, whether it's health issues, whether it's relationship issues, whether it's career issues, whatever it is, we thank you that you are a big, big God and nothing is impossible. Father, we pray for our church and we bring it before you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with C3 Fremantle and C3 Kwinana. I thank you, Father, for everyone who is here this morning, for no one is here by accident. I pray, Father, that everyone would walk out with a word of revelation. That even if it doesn't happen in the moment, the wheels are turning. That there's a shift in the spirit realm, Lord. That as we cry out, you hear us. I thank you, Father, and I pray that we may learn to open up our mouths and make prophetic declarations. That we may start to say that I am the head and not the tail. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. As we call out to you for who you are. Father, I pray for every single person in the room that we may hear you, Lord, but that it may not stop there, that as we hear you, O Lord, may we see the vision attached to that. May we see the vision attached to that. I pray that everyone here may know without a shadow of doubt that they are on assignment. Whether you are going to a school or to a workplace or to a church or you are in the bus or the shopping center, you are on assignment. And I thank you, Father, that you have gifted us to complete the work. For those that you have called, you have equipped. So we thank you that we are equipped to do the work of the ministry. We thank you, Father, that we've been able to come to church and just refuel.
So I pray, Father, Lord Jesus, those who are tired mentally right now, I break that spirit, oh God, of suicide. I break that spirit in the name of Jesus. That spirit of suicide, that spirit of despair, that spirit of depression, I break it in the name of Jesus. We say it has no authority over you. We cancel it. And I say every assignment that the enemy has sent your way, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. We walk in the authority that we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We will walk out tall. We will walk out in the identity you've given us, and we'll walk out in the authority you've given us, and we will plant seeds of hope. For in you, Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. I'll hand over to Pastor Stephen.
Please put your hands together for Pastor Nami. Are we going to finish on a song? Ready? Okay, so we're just going to finish on a song and have a wonderful week. And remember that as people, we are always on assignment. No matter where you go, you are on assignment. That you are not insignificant, you are very significant. That wherever you go, you've got the Spirit of the Lord in you. The kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God is within you. And so wherever we go, we take whatever the King says we do, we do it. If he says, go pray for that person, we're going to pray for that person. If he says, give $5 to that man on the street, don't say, but everybody else is giving him, so Lord, why should I give him? Give him $50, if that's what the Lord says, and if you're able to do that. So let's sing as we go.